It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance, and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul Lavoie.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
Beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill.
There's a whole lot of trying. Tonight's city council meeting is upstairs or up the elevator.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want. I was just told that by Mayor Cal Sheehy and Vice Mayor Cameron Moses, who are our guests today. It's Tuesday, March 26, 2024. So I thought, man, we got to play the Jeffersons theme, right? You guys are moving on up today. That's great news, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, no, we're excited to be able to have our first public meeting at the courthouse in the new community room on the second level, and we hope folks will join us at 5:30 this afternoon.
I can't wait to see the new digs. I just might go.
You should come.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think I should do a call to the public just to, you know, shamelessly announce that Speak Out is a show that, you know, is dedicated to the listener or whatever, and, you know, we're looking for more callers. It on the show,
yeah,
I could get on my soapbox like I did with Ron Gould.
There you go.
No, it sounds great.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. And, it should be a good one today. We're just kind of, you know, shooting the you-know-what around here this morning. And a lot going on. I've got battle scars from the community cleanup. It looks like a cat scratch on my arm. I didn't even know it was there until someone pointed it out to me. But you've got... somewhat.
I got scorpion weed. Yes.
Ooh. Scorpion weed rash?
Yes.
So where were you?
I was out on the highway. I was doing highway cleanup.
So was I.
What part of the highway were you on?
In front of Staples. It's the Kiwanis section.
Yeah, you guys did a lot. I saw the bags.
I know, right?
In. Yeah, we were out by the airport.
We couldn't get together and put them all in a big pile. We had to scatter them so it makes us look like we were super busy, right?
Yeah, ours were all piled together at the end, but we were over by the airport.
I think we had... You know what really makes that cleanup work for us? We moved our cleanup. It's an Adopt-a-Highway program that we're a part of. And we moved our cleanup to that Earth Day when everybody was doing it.
Yes.
Ours is usually, I think ours was next month. I don't know. You'd have to ask David Lane, our president. But
our Rotary Club moved ours as well.
Yeah.
Vice Mayor Moses, you were out on the water?
Yeah, we took the Interact Kids, which is the high school version of our Rotary Club. We took a few Interact Kids out there, and we all kind of divvied up the lake. You know, some of us went south, some of us really focused on the island and some of the campsites around there. But, yeah, my boat's the one that's got the scratches, not me. Some of those shorelines on that island were a little rocky, and these kids didn't want to get wet, so I had to get them real close. But they'd pop off, and my daughter went with me, too. My daughter's 7 years old, and I love that aspect of it. It's just showing her how many people care about the community and really instilling that it's all our responsibility to take care of our town.
Yeah, I kind of got sidetracked on that we had moved it to Earth Day, but our key club is what really makes that highway cleanup work every year.
Yeah.
You know, twice a year, how many times a year that we do it. I think we had 16, 17. There were a lot of key club members out there.
Yep, that's great.
And then I would say 10 Kiwanians. So, yeah, and they give you this vest, right? There's a Kiwanis vest. And Cameron, you could really relate to this.
Yeah.
Like me, there is, it said one size fits all.
That's a little tight.
Yeah, right? It didn't fit me. It's a reflective vest that says Kiwanis on the back. You know, I just went with the open rock star look.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't care.
As long as you had it on.
Exactly. Yeah. Hiking boots, jeans. I know better than to wear shorts on a highway cleanup.
Oh, absolutely. Same.
No, I had jeans on, and yeah. I was still shocked that I got long sleeves. And
oh, did you have long sleeves?
I did, yes.
Yeah, I did not.
Yes.
But I did have my gloves.
No, I didn't have long sleeves. I'm sorry, I didn't. I had a coat originally, but then when it started warming up,
I had my new, brand new Blonzy's Camaros versus Mustangs t-shirt on that Melissa gave me, the owner of Blonzy's.
Yeah.
And I headed up to Blonzy's for the car show. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Was there a car show this weekend at Blonzy's?
Yeah, Camaros versus Mustangs.
How cool.
It's a small show.
Yeah.
But she always does something every, it's just about every week to benefit a local charity.
So what side do you fall on, Camaros or Mustangs?
You know, I shot a lot more video and a lot more pictures of Mustangs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Blonzy, the car itself, is a Camaro.
Okay.
It's a yellow or blonde Camaro.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So I have a picture I'll show you guys during the break. So.
Yeah, cool. I went over to the American Legion car show that was right after.
The Troop Box Convoy.
Yeah. So it was huge. It was such a great job.
There's a huge turnout. Yeah.
Yes.
So many people I talk to that, what's Troop Box Convoy? And they don't know what the Troop Box actually is. You know what it is, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's quite an effort by Judy Harvey and a friend of hers. And then the fundraising comes from those people. Mike White is one of them.
Yes.
And then I don't remember Vicky. I don't remember her last name. But they had over 350 cars.
Yeah, it was amazing. They do such a great job.
It's a big show.
Yeah, really big show.
And then you got the Calvary one coming up.
It is coming up.
That's coming up on April 6th. So, yeah, we had Pastor Darrell in from Calvary yesterday talking about that show. And that's all free.
Yes.
It's event season.
It really is.
Well, that's so beautiful outside. We got to find some fun stuff to do.
That's a great idea for a church outreach, though.
Oh,
at the Speedway. Over 300 vehicles they usually get. It's the sixth annual.
It's amazing.
So, yeah, it's going to be quite the event. But yeah, what are you expecting from the new chambers? Have you been up there and looked at all that and make sure everything's working? The microphones come on when they're supposed to and all that?
Yeah, I've been there. I can't take credit for any of that.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You?
But,
no.
Our team,
I could, but I wasn't there.
No, our team at the city has really been working really hard to make sure all that works. Steve Blake and Jerry Brockmani and Colleen Lowry. And, I mean, so many people.
The IT team has been there. Basically moved into the courthouse, getting them all up and running. They're doing a fantastic job.
And that was for the IT, for the entire facility, not just for this community room. I mean, they've done such an amazing job.
How much stuff has to be configured over there? You have the overhead projector, right? You have the call to the public mic. You have all of the dais mics.
Yes. Well, we also have the city clerk, Kelly Williams, and her team. So it's all of the voting software. It's the microphones, the lighting, the switch to go on to channel 4. So we could be live and also be on YouTube and all of those channels.
And then all of the security network. Like, I mean, there's a lot that goes into making that, a secure courthouse on top of our community room.
Wow. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, you're going to have a presentation tonight from the county regarding that needs assessment. And KRMC's been talking about it. Roger Galloway's been talking about it on our show, To Your Health. All of that is on the website, by the way, kntrtalk.com. And what do you expect to hear tonight about the community needs assessment?
Yes, so the Mojave County Department of Public Health will come and give a presentation to our community on the community health needs assessment that's underway countywide. This is taking into account the different health needs that our communities have, both as individual communities within the county as well as countywide. And then how do we address those types of things? And so I do know in some of the reporting that I've read, behavioral health is a focus for the three major cities in the county. and some other needs, and how do we address those needs from a public health perspective, and how do we bring those partnerships in? And so I believe that they will be giving a presentation to the council and to the city and the citizens of Lake Havasu City so that they can understand, and if they have feedback or interest or an opportunity for a partnership to be able to solve some of these issues, we'll be able to do that.
Is this something that's been done in the past, or is this, and how long has it been if it has been done?
Yeah, so the community needs a health assessment happens every at a certain interval, and it was recent, maybe in the last 5 years, the most recent one. But it's not our project, so I don't know all the specifics, but I know I was involved in one in the past as well. What this outreach is, this is actually a new way for the Department of Public Health to outreach to communities, is to use the council meeting as an avenue to do that. So they've had meeting and stakeholder meetings within all of the communities. But now attending the council meeting, it will hopefully bring the presentation to a wider audience, and more folks will have the ability to hear what the work that is being done from the community health assessment.
Is that something that can be accessed online?
Yes, you can find that on the county's website. Again, since it is a county function, I don't have all the specifics,
but I know
it is on the county website.
I haven't taken it yet. I remember there was a housing or something assessment that the city posted. I don't know if you remember that. It was a few months back.
Yes.
And it said it was going to be a few minutes, or Jess told me that. And I'm like 10 minutes into it, and I'm barely scratching the surface. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, those surveys can take some time.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, to me, keep it short, keep it simple, and keep it to the point. Don't get into the minutiae, but it's a needs assessment,
yeah,
right?
It's. I mean, we're dealing with some pretty complex issues here, and so I understand, because I'm with you too.
Right.
What I mean, anything over 10 minutes,
yeah.
Like, all right, I got to move on. I got business to attend to. So
yeah. Unless I'm taking it at night on my phone when I'm watching TV, maybe, and half watching something.
Yeah, in my business, they actually had through the census. There's intervals that you're required to do different surveys.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and so I got this one from the census, and you're required to do it. And I'm reading, and it says that the estimated amount of time is 4 hours.
What?
I did forward that one on to someone on my team because I could not.
I know who you didn't forward it to, right? Tom.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was like, that 4 hours. I mean,
4 hours.
Yeah,
that's funny.
At least they're being honest, but who? And
right.
Too much.
So I'm going to go off the beaten path for a second. Just since you mentioned business and that, how is business for you, Cameron, over at Chez Bones?
Oh yeah,
during spring break right now.
Oh, we're great. I mean, it's a beautiful time of year. Tourists are coming. The locals are getting out and enjoying the weather.
Does it seem picked up from last year?
I'm not as tuned into the spring breaks as maybe Cal is.
Oh, okay.
We get some families and stuff like that, and we'll get a couple of, you know, organized, you can tell they're like a frat or a sorority, and
sure,
they come down and they'll have a nice dinner or something like that. But yeah, we're just busy because the town is busy.
Okay.
You know, we go as the town goes, and it's been a phenomenal spring. It's been a lot of fun.
So take off the mayor's hat for a second. Put on the general manager of the London Bridge Resort hat. How is spring break happening for the resort?
You know, we are seeing spring breakers, but mostly families, which mm-hmm. are fantastic. They're great. Spring break really has shifted post-pandemic. The students aren't traveling in the same respect that they used to. So, but also schools have changed. So there's a lot more online options. There's a lot more trimesters. There's a lot more starting and stopping and not using a traditional like semester that we're used to. And that really has been impacting.
Are you seeing a different caliber of student then, or is it the student coming with their families?
It's a little bit of both.
Really?
So they're younger because they're coming with their family. And then the students that do still come out are the same, you know, college-aged student that just is looking to have a good time.
Sure.
There's just not as many of them.
Right.
They don't have the flexibility, which is interesting because you see on the national news, Florida is in all sorts of controversy. You know, Miami Beach pushed the spring breakers up to Fort Lauderdale, and Fort Lauderdale is increasing their citations. And, I mean, it's all over the national news. And out west, we're just not seeing that at all.
You can tell I don't watch the news anymore. I just I hear it all day on the radio behind me.
Which is good for you, is I actually don't watch the news either, but I do listen to it on the radio.
Oh,
and
very
so,
good, very
I
good.
I get most of my news
right
that way that I don't read.
Back in the day, the hot spot was Daytona. Yes. I remember that. Yep. So
I used to manage a hotel in Daytona. And,
you did?
Those days. I did. Yes.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yes.
All right, let's take a short break. And we're going to play the band du jour, which would be Tom Petty.
Oh, always.
Right?
Always Tom Petty.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be. But all right, back with more in a moment. We're with Lake Havasu City Mayor Cal Sheehy and Vice Mayor Cameron Moses. Council meeting tonight in the new chambers. Woohoo! 5:30 over there on
Acoma.
What's the best way to access that, Cal?
Through Acoma. So it's 92 Acoma Boulevard. So just head on Acoma and turn right or left into the facility. It's right adjacent to the City Hall complex.
What do you think the over-under is on those residents that are going to go to the old police facility for the meeting tonight?
Yeah, so we'll have signage to direct them to the new spot. We do encourage you to get there early because it is in the courthouse, which does have security.
Well, so and council members, we're creatures of habit, so yeah, who knows? Maybe right, there's a couple of us that, well, that end up there.
If you're a sports fan like I am, I'm going to set the over-under at about 24. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio. Give us a call, 928-854-5687. We'll be right back. We're back on Speak Out, little Tom Petty from This Is Tom Petty. You have to kind of type it in that way in the search if you want a whole Tom Petty palooza on Spotify. Just type in This Is Tom Petty or This Is Pink Floyd or This Is Whatever. Anyway, little The Waiting, and Cameron Moses always asks for Tom Petty.
One of my first favorite artist.
Really?
Yeah.
Which, my first album from him was an 8-track called Damn the Torpedoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was one before that, I think, that had American Girl on it.
So I'm a little younger.
You think?
So
you never heard
my first favorite album was The Greatest Hits.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. I fell in love with first Mary Jane's Last Dance.
Oh, yeah.
And then got the Greatest Hits album and just fell in love with it.
We do a rockin' version of Mary Jane's Last Dance, by the way. Pretty rockin'.
I like guitar riffs, so Mary Jane has good. Tom Petty's, he has a couple good guitar riffs.
Right on. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Chad asked me to remind everyone that he's racing this Saturday at the Havasu 95 Speedway. He'll have the Mojave Mortgage Circle Rocket. This is what he calls it. Number 33 race car. It's nice. A pretty cool car. When it's not in the wall. I'm just saying. The run's pretty good. No. I'm just giving him grief because I know he's listening. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by Patio Paradise. Just meets all the cuts all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. I haven't been yet. Have you been?
We were closed for Christmas one time, and we went and got a roast for my mom for Christmas. Yeah.
Nice. Also, Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And by Blonzi's Steakhouse, where steaks are just the beginning. They also feature the Prius and all-veggie sandwich. And don't forget, we stream live. And you can join Jerry Bracamonte and Jess Knudsen on the archives at KNTRTalk.com. Because that's where they listen to the show, I believe, when they don't have time to listen live, right?
Yeah.
I think that Jerry's listening to us live right now.
I hear we're pretty popular down there at City Hall.
They like the show for sure.
Yeah? You think?
Yes.
Not the host, just the show.
I think it's the host.
Yeah.
I would beg to differ with Jess. So anyway, I'm kidding. We talked about the needs assessment, but you know what kind of surprised me but didn't because of the amount of traffic was the stop sign at Chemehuevi in Jamaica. I know some residents in that area, and they were like, oh, man, that's really going to mess with traffic during school hours, this and that and the other. But it's not like the Public Works just goes in and puts a stop sign in. There's a reason for that.
Yes. Yeah, there's that particular intersection over there, Jamaica and Shemawavy, which is by the gas station and the church area. It was identified as a potential area that was having increased traffic, and how do we make the flow happen? So we did a traffic study and an analysis, and a lot of the discussion was coming up during the rezoning for an apartment complex at the top of Shemawavy at McCulloch, so Delta and Shemawavy. And the current traffic flows do warrant some sort of traffic control measure there, and that's why the stop sign was put in. It also is a blind corner when you're coming. If you're heading towards the lake down Jamaica, and you're trying to turn off of Shemawavy, you do have a blind spot. And that's why that was determined. During the announcement and a lot of the social media feeds that went after that, people were talking about other intersections that should be addressed, most notably Jamaica and McCulloch, which that is getting a traffic signal. So that
A signal
will be going there at McCulloch and Jamaica up there by Hacienda Mini Mart and the Dollar General area.
It's a big intersection. I mean, in area, it seems to be a big intersection. Am I right?
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic. If you use that intersection at times outside of like school drop-offs and what the Havasu rush hour at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's you might not notice it, but there. That intersection feeds into two very busy elementary schools, Jamaica Elementary and Starline Elementary, and also is a main traffic route down to Thunderbolt Middle School. So there's a ton of traffic in addition to all of just the neighborhood traffic that occurs in that area.
Well, what the paper had mentioned, too, was that there's going to be a food truck. What's that area that the P&Z approved it already, and it has to do with food trucks. What was that?
Yeah, so they're going to do a food truck court.
That's
back at Shemawavy and Jamaica between the Masonic Lodge and the gas station.
That's only going to increase, you know, demand in that area.
Absolutely.
Yes, and it'll change the demand a little bit because it's, you know, an eatery has different types of demand and traffic demands.
At different times of the day.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's been approved, and that'll be developed where it'll have, you know, several food trucks potentially on this area where people go to a common seating area and eat from different trucks.
I hear some really good news from that area, too. I don't know if you guys know, but there's some people that work here at Radio Central that live close to there, and Aloe is coming to that neighborhood like very soon.
Very
like
nice.
Possibly this week or next week.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, it's a really good addition. I happen to
Aloe now.
I have Aloe too.
Isn't it amazing?
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never lose service.
I still have Suddenlink, and knock on wood, I've always had decent service
so
from Suddenlink.
Yeah.
Which is wild because I know so many people who haven't. But just depends on your area.
If you're looking to own your own equipment, I know somebody who has their own equipment. Suddenly, that works with Optimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the high-speed internet there. So.
And then we have wire-free at the restaurant,
and
too.
He's in this room. So. Yeah. But no, the Aloe, if you're waiting for Aloe in your neighborhood, it is a game changer.
It is.
So
yeah, it's been amazing.
It's everything Doc said that it would be. So
yes.
And then you talked about other stop signs and that. It seems like every time a stop sign goes in, I think, man, another four-way stop for Havasu.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It just at least it's better than, you know, in Vegas. There's, it seems like it's gotten so big, everything's in a signaled intersection now.
Yes.
And so at least we're not there.
Very long.
The long in Las Vegas.
Oh, their signals?
Yes, they take forever.
They're 90 seconds.
Oh, it seems longer than that.
I don't think Mulberry might be longer than the average Vegas light. That's what you deal with in Vegas, though, is Mulberry.
And Mulberry's my light. I can't tell you how many times I close the restaurant at like midnight and I'm sitting there. I'm the only car I can see within miles. And I'm just sitting at that light, just waiting my turn.
So it's ADOC control.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the highway part.
Yeah, some of the comments that were on the social media feeds about Mulberry really put a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
About the Mulberry area.
Right. All right, let's talk about the governor's visit when we come back from break.
Okay.
But that was all over the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't get these phone calls. The governor's coming. I wonder why that is. It's like
next time.
Don't call me.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I have a lot of other duties here at the studio besides just talking on a microphone for 1 hour a day. I figured out with Steve one day that the time that we do Speak Out is one. It's 5% of my job.
Oh, wow.
5%. Maybe 10 if you count the confirmations and some of the scheduling and that.
Mm-hmm. The preparation.
That was kind of one of the conditions when I took over the show. I want to do my own scheduling, right? And don't move the time.
Yes.
You remember when it used to move?
It did used to move based on daylight savings time, right?
Yeah, it's just easier for guests now.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're operations manager, you can do that, right?
You've done it.
Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Lake Havasu City Mayor Cal Shee, Vice Mayor Cameron Moses. You're listening to Speak Out, 928-854-5687. 2 more days, gentlemen. 2 more days. The opening day. The Diamondbacks and the Rockies. No, I don't have tickets. I already gave them away. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
To the point. Let's roll another joint. Let's head on down the road. There's somewhere I gotta go. And you don't know.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. And, talking sports off the air because the NCAA tournament going on, of course. I'll give you the rundown after we let you know who Speak Out is brought to you in part by, of course, The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also, Springburg Wealth Management by Mojave Community College. Sun Power by Esme Electric. By samsguns.com. I've got Sam booked, by the way, on that first Friday in April, so we're expecting his triumphant return. Also, Doritos Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. And shop local. I know Mayor Cal Shee will agree with this because small business is kind of a big deal, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Shop local. All right. So we're talking with University of Arizona alumni Cameron Moses,
mm-hmm.
and your Wildcats play Thursday, and they're the second seed in their region against Clemson, who's the sixth seed.
Yep.
But they're an SEC team.
Yeah, and SEC's got a tough conference, and, you know, quality schools there. But
right.
Pac-12 schools are nothing to sneeze at.
SEC, Mr. Mayor, means Southeastern Conference.
Gotcha.
That's Alabama. Yeah. You got Vandy, you got Tennessee. There's a lot of good teams in that conference.
A lot of good teams.
Right, right.
Pac-12's been doing really good.
And then San Diego State and Connecticut, they're like right at the same time. So on our coverage on KNTR Sports, they kind of shift. They go back and forth. Mm. It's actually pretty cool
the way
they do it. Right, right, right. So, the Aztecs, of course, the winners of their conference that UNLV's in, the Mountain West, against, I don't envy them at all, number one Connecticut.
Yeah.
The top seed.
That's going to be a tough one.
And then we'll break out of that and go into the Diamondbacks opening day game against the Colorado Rockies.
Nice. So I'm excited for baseball.
That'll be very cool. Yeah, but we just lost our closer. So, yeah, he has a quad injury, and they're saying it's not going to be days, it's going to be weeks. Paul Sewald.
Oh, man.
Who was our closer last year, got us past the Phillies and into the World Series. So, all right, then you got Friday, NC State against Marquette, Gonzaga taking on Purdue, and then the Diamondbacks and Rockies at 6:40. That'll probably be more like 7 or 7:15. That'll join in progress. And then you have the Elite Eight games on Saturday and Sunday, and the Suns hopefully. Oh, man, the Suns lost last night against the Spurs.
It's pretty strange with
the
Suns.
They beat them by 30 last week.
I know. The team, I've watched them sporadically,
right.
and just I never know who you're going to get kind of deal.
So that schedule, which is very complicated, by the way, is posted at KNTRSports.com. Rotary.com, courtesy of yours truly. 94.3, 100.5, 980 AM. KNTR Sports, welcome to the team. I told you I didn't just host a radio show. So, anyway, we can also talk about the governor's visit. Or do you want to talk about this first?
Sure. Yeah.
You need the flyer?
No, the Vietnam Veterans Day. We'll be honoring all of our veterans with a focus on our Vietnam veterans this Friday, March 29th. The gates open at 10:30 a.m., and it's out at the rodeo grounds at Friends of the Fair, mm-hmm. out at Sarah Park. There is no charge, so we'd love for you to just come out to have some fellowship. It's not a stuffy event, so it's not a bunch of speeches and fanfare. It's really just to show our appreciation and welcome home our Vietnam veterans and show our appreciation to all veterans.
Yeah.
Hot dogs will be provided by the Elks Lodge, $23.99. Music sponsored by the VFW and VFW Auxiliary Post, 9401. Again, no RSVP required. Just great food, good talk, and good fellowship and music. So 10:30 this Friday out at the Rodeo Grounds.
It's always such a really, really cool event. And every single time I start thinking of it, I remember that one year where we had the, just by chance, we had just got done with the National Anthem and had the flyover of the, it looked like F-16, F-18
yeah,
to me.
Yes.
But it was one of the coolest coincidences I've ever seen. It was not planned.
Really?
We went to Jerry and like, did you set that up? And,
Jerry. And,
she took credit for a minute. And
you
then,
didn't go to Jess. You went to Jerry.
Oh, no. Jerry's
That's
the boss.
That's funny.
Yeah, Jerry's the boss.
That's too funny.
But they did try to plan it. We weren't able to get it. Congressman Gosar
really?
And Penny Pugh were there as well. And they were like, oh, this happened.
Yeah, so, it was cool. Yeah, it was. It was, I mean, gave
did you take credit, Mr. Mayor?
No, we all were just so, I mean, I think our jaws all dropped because it actually happened.
Wow.
It really
it was
so a
cool.
powerful moment.
That's awesome.
Because it was right after the
How many years
anthem.
Have you been hosting this? Do you know?
Well, we've been at Vietnam.
Or speaking at this event. You don't host it, obviously.
We've been a member of the Vietnam Commemorative Group for several years, I think since 2010. And so we've been putting on this event for several years. We actually used to host it at London Bridge Resort, and we did it as a dinner.
Really?
We did like a spaghetti dinner, and then we moved out to the rodeo grounds, I think, 3 or 4 years ago.
It's been at the rodeo grounds
since it goes together for me, so I lose track of things. But the history was that we started it with the Vietnam Commemorative Group out at London Bridge Resort, and then we shifted out to the rodeo grounds.
And the Marine Corps League, they're part of everything in this town, it seems like.
Yes. Yeah, they're doing such amazing work. Yeah.
Right. All right, so Governor – oh, my gosh, I almost dated myself here. Governor Katie Hobbs. I almost said Jan Brewer.
I should say who you're going
to
say.
I swear I almost said Jan Brewer because I've interviewed her. But, no, I haven't interviewed Katie Hobbs yet. I would like to. But she was in Havasu, last Friday?
Yes, so a week ago Friday.
A week ago
here.
Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was here to meet with a variety of different groups. She met with students. She met with some of our nonprofit sector, some of our education sector, and then, of course, the city. We were happy to be able to have her come to Lake Havasu. It's the first time that she's been to Lake Havasu as the governor. And so we were able to show her our conversations from the city perspective really focused around some of the housing solutions that the legislature was looking at. And there was some pending legislation at that time. And then also water, which we've really been focused on water, the Colorado River water specifically, the post-2026 guidelines, how we're going to manage the Colorado River system, both with the upper and lower basin. And there was some news recently with Arizona's, or the lower basin's recommendation to Bureau of Reclamation that dropped a week before the governor's visit. So we were able to talk about all of those priorities for Lake Havasu and how her office can help us, and also then just show her the uniqueness of Lake Havasu,
mm-hmm.
that from a water perspective, we don't have any other option. We only get Colorado River water, and we've done our part both through conservation and through acquiring water assets, and that needs to be rewarded during all these discussions.
Yeah, I would imagine. You know, I've thought about this a great deal. I do a lot of water stories. It's kind of my wheelhouse.
Nice.
And when the Metropolitan Water District, I can only imagine I wasn't here when they put those straws into the river or into the lake, if you will. The outcry must have been crazy, but it's actually worked in the community's favor because of the elevation of the lake not moving.
It really has worked in like half a
century. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Because you only have a variation of, what, 5 feet?
Yes, there's about 40 million users of the system, of the water that comes through here. The good news for us is it has to pass through Lake Havasu to get to the lower end users.
Correct.
Which you know is in the 30 plus million people. So we always are going to have water assets here. We just need to make sure that we have our allocation that we've already planned and prepared for over decades of really sound planning and management of the system and our resource.
We talked a little bit about Governor Hobbs before the show and that in a favorable light. How would you grade her from a performance standpoint? I know a lot of people criticize her for, you know, the record number of vetoes. She more than doubled Janet Napolitano's number. Yes. But I don't have that many unfavorable things to say about Governor Hobbs right now. How would you grade her from a cities and towns standpoint?
Yeah, so I mean, completely coming from a cities and towns perspective, is 85% of Arizona's residents live in a city or a town. And so the legislation that impacts from a statewide perspective impacts 85% of the residents. And the governor has been very favorable to cities and towns, really focused on local control. So having citizens at the local level that are the elected by the citizens to be held accountable to the citizens in which they represent is a foundation that I've always believed in. Government closest to the people is the most effective. And the governor shares that same view. And a lot of those vetoes were things that really could have had detrimental impacts on cities and towns across the state of Arizona.
One of those surprised me, the starter homes bill.
Yes.
It surprised me because it had bipartisan support in the House and Senate. Leo Biasucci was a strong proponent of it. I didn't really hear Sonny or John Gillette comment on it, but I was a little surprised by the veto, even though cities and towns were the League of Cities and Towns were completely against it. Mm-hmm. Anthony Kozlowski was in the studio and said there really wasn't an opinion either way in Havasu because of the population numbers. It wouldn't have affected us anyway.
Well, there was a strong opinion before Representative Biasucci carved us out. Mm-hmm. And so the original legislation was for all cities and towns.
Is that right?
Through discussions, there Representative Biasucci said for cities and towns over 70,000 people. So Lake Havasu is carved out at that point, which would allow us to have a neutral position. Senator Borelli ran the companion bill out of the Senate, so he was very involved in the legislation as well. But the city was opposed to it, and since I'm the elected, I can come out and say those things.
Absolutely,
where staff has to give the detailed information. So we're opposed to it because it took away local control and it allowed zoning by right to happen within our communities without a public process. Everything that we do is a public process, and citizens should have the ability to communicate and have their voice heard through that process.
Right.
And this was set to eliminate that on new developments. I mean, so, there's new developments that are over 5 acres. I mean, there's lots of nuances to the bill, but at the end of the day, local control is really where it's at.
Did you have a chance to talk to your fellow mayors, D'Amico and Watkins, about this?
You know, I did not talk to them specifically about the bill, but they also would have been excluded on the legislation because of the 70,000 threshold.
That's what surprised me, that Bullhead City came out very publicly against that bill.
It really was a bad bill, and it didn't do what it was aimed to do, which is, the starter home bill, the idea and the intention was to get people into their first home. This bill did not do anything to achieve that, but there are some things that can be done, and the governor was very clear in her veto message is that there's other pieces of legislation that are still working through the process in the legislature, and she wants cities and towns to get to the table and make that workable, because the governor intends to do something in a bipartisan way to support housing within the state. She was very clear about that.
Anything that you talked to her about specifically that maybe residents really wanted you to address with the governor, maybe the short-term rental situation or the unavailability of affordable housing?
Sure. We talked about all of those things. So, we talked about
what was her response?
Short-term rental, she has been on record and also mentioned to us that she is in favor of local control. And so she's very favorable to cities and towns in that regard. We also talked about healthcare and the challenges that we have around healthcare and recruiting physicians and healthcare providers to rural Arizona. And she had some really good insight to that. Vice Mayor Moses was with us in that meeting. I don't know any insight you have for takeaways from our visit with her.
I mean, no, I just thought she was very receptive, and so many times you're sitting over there in Phoenix and you just hear the words, right? But when the fact that we got her to come here and go, she actually went on the lake and went through the city and saw just how important the water issues are and met with our people and really heard the real stories. So the fact that she took the time to come here, I'm very appreciative of that. And to and like Mayor was saying, she had some good insight on what you know, some of the struggles we're going through, because we have very specific issues out here in rural, very, very different than Phoenix.
What was the length of the visit?
She was here the whole day.
Oh, she was.
But
wow.
She was with different sectors, so she was with us for about an hour.
Yeah.
I then had the ability to host her on the lake, and so we were able to take her on a tour of the lake. And then she met with the nonprofits for about an hour, education for about an hour, park staff, state park staff for some time.
I hope she ate at the right restaurant.
Yes. Yeah, she went to a local restaurant. So.
There is no right restaurant. Yeah. It was a joke.
Yeah, she went to a local restaurant for lunch and was able to really get a good cross-section of Lake Havasu and see a good cross-section of our citizens as well.
Right. So, Cameron, a couple of the candidates have already turned in their petitions. I cleared this with you ahead of time, by the way. Where are you at in that process? You pulled them, you're still gathering signatures. What are you doing now?
The deadline's coming up. I want to say it's in the next week, within the next week or
I want to say it's
definitely
first.
It's before the next of the month. So I have an appointment coming up with our city clerk, and I'll be turning in my signatures here within the week.
Was it an easy effort this time?
It felt easier the second time around. I was much more relaxed with it, and I mean, I just love talking to people, so I always focus more on that than, hey, will you sign my piece of paper kind of deal.
I got you.
I just enjoy talking to people. So
this is your first term on the council.
Correct.
You had some goals when you came in. Have you met those goals, and are there other goals that you would like to meet in a second term?
So there are. And my goals have shifted since I've been on. Not necessarily like a complete 180.
Yeah.
But just having a little perspective and being on the council and seeing some of the things we did accomplish some goals. Helping the legislative get us a little more control for our Airbnbs and VRBO situation, I think is also what's adding to the stability in our housing market a little bit. As a it's not continuing to just go like crazy. So we've had some good successes there. I really want to continue my focus on improving our road conditions here in Lake Havasu. We put $10 million towards it this year. And if you look at the map that $10 million gets you, it's a pretty disappointing map.
It's a pretty small dot, huh?
Yeah. And so it just goes to show you we need to have a continued effort of just chipping away at it. And to be honest, you don't want to do it all at the same time anyway.
Does that surprise?
Because then you got to do it all again the next time.
Now that you've seen the way the sausage is made, I don't want to get too far into the campaign talk because we have time for
our own time,
towards the primary. But now that you've seen how the sausage is made, I would say both of you, are you surprised at how, I would say how far a dollar stretches, but at how little you can get for your dollar now?
Yeah.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah.
Really surprising. I'd say the most surprising for me was I come from the business sector, and I wanted to run government at the speed of business.
Yeah.
And I realized actually very quickly why it's slow. And it's slow so that citizens have the ability to understand if the issue is important to them or not.
Oh.
And so, we do an introduction of an ordinance, and then we, at a subsequent meeting, do an adoption. That's so citizens in the news cycle can happen and citizens say, hey, no, we're not in favor of that, or we do like that.
Makes
and they
sense.
Can weigh in.
Because customers vote with their feet.
Yeah. It's so important to have public input.
Right.
And so I realized, all right, this is the right speed and the right ability to have citizens engage with us.
I'll echo that. It was one of the most frustrating things. So I'm just like, oh, no, I'm working a much smaller organization than Cal does. So it's like if I want to change, like we do it today.
Yeah.
And it just goes, right? Uh-huh. And then also I don't have to get a study or I don't have, you know what I mean? I don't have to do any of these things. I take a gut feeling that I had one day and then I make it happen. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Can't necessarily do that in the government when it's taxpayer dollars.
Sure so can't.
That's been the biggest adjustment, absolutely.
All right. Guys, great hour.
Yeah, thank you.
We did it. We filled it.
We did.
All right. I wish we would add some callers, made this talk radio, not just listen radio. I had a guy email me one time. It was one of those nasty grams that you get, right? Oh, I don't want to hear you talk. I want to hear you. Well, then call in. You got a question? Call in. That's what the show's for. Anyway, thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Lake Havasu City Mayor Cal Sheehy, Vice Mayor Cameron Moses. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot on Speak Out.
Some say life will beat you down. Break your heart.
All right, quick question for Marissa June, who's our classic rock aficionado.
Yes.
I don't know, you're kind of battling me on that, but who's the worst singer? Tom Petty or Stevie Nicks?
Oh man, I love Stevie so. Well, yeah, I like Tom Petty too.
I mean, yeah, I love them, but they have that unique.
No, worst singer Bob Dylan. I can't stand his voice.
I'm gonna say Stevie is a better singer. I don't think she's a pure singer per se.
Yeah, no.
But she just has her own tone. But
yeah, she does.
When I saw Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks, it was coming off of a like 102 fever. They got her fever down so she could go on stage, and she just nailed everything.
Dang.
That makes her.
That makes her
better. All right. So, blood drive's coming up. We don't have a lot of time now. We're down to about 30 to 40 seconds.
Vitalin is hosting April's blood drive for Stress Awareness Month, and our first one in Havasu is going to be this coming Monday. It's going to be Monday through Thursday here.
It's a four-day drive?
Yeah.
Nice.
Four-day drive at Lake Havasu City Aquatic Center, the big room with the stage.
It's one of their biggest, folks. I knew a phlebotomist very well.
So for the link to make an appointment, it's already up on our Facebook, so you can go check that out.
That's vitalant.org. So it's on all the Facebook pages or the KNTR Talk and KJJJ?
I have it on KJ and Talk right
Listen
now.
Listen to her. I have it. She's our social media guru now. All
I'm
right,
going
to
get it
go.
On sports in a minute. We'll see you tomorrow.
Meow.
Meow.
Right? All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.